We're on? We're good? Totally local podcast, people. That's right. Monmouth County. We're in it. Ocean County. We love it. We cover it all, baby. Jersey Shore. What we doing? Well, it's actually and honestly, I made the mistake last week. Pardon me. It's actually Labor Day weekend coming up. This weekend. I thought it was last weekend.
It happens.
I mean, I felt foolish.
Well, I thought it was Memorial Day weekend last weekend. So that's
Well, then there you go. I don't feel so bad. Totally Local Podcast. Local characters, colorful businesses in and around the Jersey Shore area. You know what it is. Back once at it, we got Aaron Levine, LG Insurance. How's it going, man?
Hey. Good. I got my Sea Dragon in front of me. Perfect. It is, in fact, Labor Day weekend, and I did call you out on your pineapple Hawaiian shirt last week. I said, hey, nice shirt. You said, happy LDW, and I got confused, and I didn't comment again.
Yeah, that's it. He just kind of was just like, I don't think Andrew knows what's going on. Jeff Plate, Asbury Park Brewery. How's it going, man?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm good. We're live in full effect on the loading dock.
Yeah, I'm glad we're out here.
It's beautiful.
Last time we did it was a little Zoom conference or a webcam thing, and
yeah.
Now we finally get to enjoy each other's company out on the loading dock.
There's certainly a different vibe about it. I've talked about it before when you're kind of just sitting with people in the, you know, open, beautiful air. You know, it brings a certain magic and whimsy to the whole conversation that you don't just get. Although I do love the Zoom, because as we were just talking about, you know, the first one we were going to do with LG Insurance, with Aaron Levine, it was going to be from a Shared Universe podcast studio,
right.
Satellite store, if you will, on the boardwalk. Epic shouts to Shared Universe podcast studio in Ming. But we were going to do it from there first. And then you said, hold up, people are getting, it might be a little...
I think it was actually Brett Morgan that pulled the first punch.
He's sorry. So healthy.
Sorry, Brett. He's like,
he's so healthy. He's
well,
like, this isn't healthy.
I don't know. And then all hell broke loose.
Yeah, yeah.
Right at about that same time.
But then
time
we zoomed.
Then we zoomed.
We recovered. And that's what it's all about. Figuring out what to do. Moving, you know? Jersey Copland, like a shark.
I have seen Copland. I was just talking about that movie, too.
It's just solid.
It's a sleeper, and it really stands up. I think that it's better than people gave it credit for when it came out.
Sylvester Stallone is so good and understated in it that, you know, he just plays he plays the perfect character that is just goes against the grain for what he normally plays. Anyway, Copland, people.
And Leota is so overstated in it.
Yeah.
Leota's over the top in it.
I mean, where did Ray Liotta come from?
New Jersey.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah, you might remember this because I don't know if you know this, but me and Aaron went to high school together.
No.
True.
Ray Liotta was at a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs when I was a kid. Like, just for some reason, like, Liotta was always at these bar and bat mitzvahs.
Was he like...
That's beyond my memory.
Was he like glad handing or was he there? Was he singing? Like, in what capacity? Like, a friend?
He was somehow in like a family group of people that were in Ocean Township, but it's a striking memory I have from like 7th and 8th grade.
Did you get to meet him? Do you walk up like, hi, I'm Ray Liotta.
Hell yeah, I got to. Yeah, totally.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Liotta, great guy.
Were you into like his career at that point?
Certainly into Goodfellas, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was the extent of my Ray Liotta knowledge at the time.
I'm doing Goodfellas.
But, you know, I got more into him after I met him.
You know
what I mean? Where it's like, you know, actually, on second thought, that guy's a great actor because he was nice to me.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, obviously Bruce Springsteen around here is very, very popular.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, it's not for nothing, but he's super friendly, you know?
He's like the Asbury Tooth Fairy.
He just kind of
comes in and sprinkles you with a little good vibe.
It's so classic. Every comment under people posted are like, it's Bruce, here we are in Wonderland, wherever they, you know, Wonder Bar, wherever they are at. And you always get the comments that are just like, oh, I just missed him. You know, like a shooting star.
Right.
But you'll catch him
one
day.
He's the Asbury unicorn.
He's like 1 degree separated. I know everyone I know knows somebody that knows Bruce Springsteen. Like I worked with this florist and he used to actually fix his motorcycles. And I have random stories like that where it's like, oh yeah, you know, well, he lives next to my cousin.
you know, when they were growing up.
I need my motorcycle fixed. I go to a florist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know.
Here comes the first NJ Transit.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful.
So Asbury Park is situated on Sewell Avenue, right on the train tracks, which will become abundantly clear in the next 30 seconds.
They're going to stop for maintenance for about, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And,
so I wasn't sure if the trains were running and public transportation like still a thing. But clearly, there's four people on that train coming from Point Pleasant.
Yep.
Do you really
Two of them are running it.
Do you really need like in this day and age of Zoom meetings, do you really need like a conductor on a train? I don't want to insult any conductors out there. Train conductors, that is.
I think it's a union thing.
Okay. Alright. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
I'll look into it.
Thank you. Jersey Shore, Asbury Park, people at the beach. Are you guys like, be honest with me, are you guys like real beach? Are you beachy? Are you beach people?
Yeah, I'm beach people.
That was like a 50%. Are you a beach person?
Judging by Jeff's tan, I can tell how much he goes to the beach.
Are you beachy?
I enjoy the beach. My wife and kids would be happy to be there every day.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mind the sand. I love the ocean. I used to swim a lot in the ocean. But my beach today is I want to be at the tiki bar.
I hear that.
With drink in hand and on the sand.
I hear that.
So the kids can go run and do their thing. And
so you know, hot.
That's my beach.
It's so sandy. I went with the in-laws. Like, it's so funny when people like, when you realize like you're the uptight person and like everyone else is having fun. Like you're looking at like those movies like Caddyshack, and you look around and like you're Judge Schnells or whatever, like. I'm just so curmudgeonly, and they're like, come on, come. So I go onto the beach. It's like when you're on the beach, it's nice. But everything you have to do to get to the beach is like, you got to lug all this stuff like you're trudging up like the Himalayas or something.
It's a schlep.
Then you sit down. It's hot. You got to put sun. I can't stand lotions or oils of any kind. You got to put that on so you don't die. And then you're sitting there just in the heat. Hopefully you have an umbrella. And hopefully somebody else hasn't, like, you know, acquired the shade of the umbrella. Because it goes around, obviously, like a sundial. So I'm sitting there on the beach. My mother-in-law hands me a Michelob Ultra. Ooh. Sorry, I didn't have any Asbury Park.
You look great.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the choice of my father-in-law, Epic Shouts. So I had one of those. I'm sitting on the beach, and I don't go in the water. I don't want to have any fun. I just don't want to be there. I'll be there because I have to be there. You know the deal. You know the drill. Then I had to, like, pee because that Ultra, Michelob Ultra, and so I have to go in the water, right? Because otherwise, you know, I'm waiting, but we're not leaving yet, so I got to go in, and I'm just,
I hope,
like...
Clean Ocean Action isn't listening.
Yeah, there are bathrooms available.
Come on, guys. Come on. When you have to go, are you telling me... Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so I have to go out into the water, you know, and it's cold, and I don't like it, because it's hot, and then you're cold, and there's like, these epic waves, like, every, you know. So I'm trying to relax. I, you know, to be honest, if I'm in the water or not in the water, I have a little stage fright, you know. But I'm in the water, which makes it worse. The waves are coming at me, and I had to really just fully go in the water, and I have to say, after all of that, it wasn't that bad, you know? Like, you're swimming around...
So come on down to the Jersey Shore. That's our advertisement
for... Don't swim near me, but
Jersey,
like...
beaches.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you had a really good birthday.
It did.
Like,
I ended up... Oh, last week? Well, Labor Day weekend, last week?
It was kind of like all just tied in. You had a birthday.
Oh,
a
man.
A big birthday, not a little birthday.
Yeah, the biggest of birthdays, some would say.
The big 4-0. So it sounds like you had like a little midlife crisis on the beach.
I did.
Shortly
I did.
Thereafter that, your 40th
That story
birthday.
Was a... journey of discovery for all of us. I learned so much about you.
Yeah.
In
well,
last
I mean,
45 seconds.
I think maybe that's part of it. You know, getting to be older, getting a little bit wiser. It's like maybe the beach isn't so bad. Maybe it's not just like for me to relieve myself in. You know. Can I get it? Cheers.
That was nice.
So what's the deal? Enough about me. What's the deal with these temporary labels here?
Okay, so when bars shut down in March around the country, basically all beer sales throughout the known universe shifted from draft to 100% packaged.
Cans, baby.
Cans, pretty much.
I'm a can man.
Bottles are kind of going the way of the dinosaur.
I don't mind it.
But essentially what happened is the big breweries came in and bought almost every single aluminum can available.
Those SOBs.
So our printed cans got bumped back from our queue at the production facility that makes our cans. So we were kind of left in the lurch, and the only solution was to buy blank cans and then label them.
Did you hand label these?
So these ones in particular, yes, because it was sort of like really short notice, and it was like, you know, this was a small batch as well, so it was like, all right, well, we're only making like 150 cases of this particular variety, which is Naive Melody. It's a kettle sour with fresh ginger and lime.
Delicious.
Available this weekend at Asbury Park Brewery. To
I
go
didn't or... see it. I didn't see it on the website. That's why I thought I either missed it or... I didn't see it as available the other day. Is it on there? Did I misread it?
I'm going to have to fire our website person.
Try again.
Yeah. Refresh
no,
the page.
No, it's up there.
All right, cool.
It's definitely up there. It's not one of the top three, so we've got like our big three flagship brands at the top, but you know, you got to look a little harder.
just opening the homepage.
You will see our blonde coming out in the next couple weeks as well in blank cans with a little bit more of a refined label on it. But still, yeah, so for the next month or two, you're going to see some Asbury Park Brewery beer in blank cans with labels on it until we get our printed cans back in, which should be around like November, Thanksgiving-ish.
I wonder how hard it is to just get, you know, just skip out the middleman and get like a can-making machine. Can you buy like a block of aluminum and just kind of get to work on that?
No.
All right. Just checking.
I mean, I think that would be a whole separate...
That's a whole separate
thing.
Might be able to sell that. All these people
buy
need cans.
Block of aluminum. It's like you're going to get a roll of Reynolds and start
making your own can. Well, DIY, baby.
I do like... I can do like the swan when you get like to-go food. You know what I mean? You can fold
that would
foil
be cool. You
could
drink it out of the swan.
Just have a little a beer swan.
Beer
I'd be
swan.
Into that. But no, we should have printed cans back sooner than later. But yeah, this was, you know, this bar shutdown was sort of a crisis industry-wide, and everyone had to kind of be creative on what they were going to do with their cans.
Some of them just was like, all right, we got it. We're just going to buy up all the friggin' cans. That's wild.
Well, when you've got the buying power, like, you know, Anheuser-Busch, Coors, Miller, you know, they come in and they tell the manufacturers, like, hey, we'll take all of the cans that you have. And then they call the small guy and say, you guys got bumped. Sorry.
Yeah.
Too bad. So sad.
They should be working. Those can people, you know, I don't want to tell anyone how to do their job, but they should be working overtime. Now is the time to be making more cans.
It's like you're going to tell the paper towel people the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
it's
right.
Paper towel time, people.
But really, I don't think it was a matter of, like, I think the will was there to do it, but it was just a matter of the materials, the aluminum and everything. So
running out.
It was. This was, like, a very strange time. And for beer drinkers particularly, I think everyone just went nuts buying cans.
Yeah.
I know... Someone I know did.
Yeah.
Not me particularly, but...
I mean... I bought a lot of beers from here, and the beer was in cans, so...
It's true.
You know,
yeah.
I'm part of the solution or part of the problem? I can't tell.
Solution.
All right, good.
Solution. Let's get
it
all.
We definitely
all
appreciate
positive.
It,
we're
and,
all
and
all
it certainly
positive.
Kept us afloat during during March, April, May. But, you know, we're starting to see draft come back, and that's what we love. We love draft beer. That's obviously our preferred method of delivery. It's the freshest. That's the experience that I think most beer drinkers want, is to get draft. So, you know, I'm encouraged. Every week we're delivering more and more draft to our distributors. So it looks like people are out there. You know, they're outdoor dining. Obviously, that's about to change, but we've got draft beer going out, and I love it.
So we've got indoor dining starting.
Was it 25%
tomorrow?
Is it starting at midnight? Like, can they just do it at midnight?
That'd
that's
be
something
so
I never asked
people
anybody.
Like, oh, this is like storm in. At midnight. I want chicken
I'm
wings.
Lined up outside.
I'm asleep anyway, so I don't care, and I kind of enjoy the outdoor dining. You know, when it's weather like this, it's perfect. But 25% is a little weird. But I guess that puts more beer on tap, and you could actually drink out of glass instead of plastic because now you're inside again.
Yeah, yeah. I was down in. I was down like you know, Ocean City, New Jersey. It's a dry town, which is interesting in and of itself. But there's so much, you know. It's going to be Labor Day weekend, and there's just such space between people. It's pretty interesting. It's a whole different vibe. People are setting up all these makeshift, you know, tents and stuff just to accommodate. But you know, I guess you got to do what you got to do. You know.
I mean, I'm very encouraged by the 25% indoors. I do agree that it's not like. super helpful. I kind of, you know, I'm on the fence as to whether I see the reasoning or not. But to me, it's encouraging because, look, we do 25 and we do it successfully and we do it safely. Next thing you know, it's 50. Next thing you know, we're back in business.
Yeah.
And, you know, really what I would like to see is everyone back enjoying our products on draft in a safe way. And, you know, hopefully get the next couple months, because it seems like the weather's going to be pretty good probably until November.
Indian summer.
You know, we get those great months here on the Jersey Shore, and we can make up for what we lost in May and June. That would be really nice.
This is, this is beautiful. This is the weather that I love right now, going into the fall. You know, I'm sad that, you know, I'm thinking back to, what is it called now? It's not Anchor's Bend anymore. It's called Seahorse or something.
Yeah, it's I don't know where they got that name from.
or
the color that they've decided.
Oh, shade. Wow. I just spilled some tea. Sorry, guys. My bad.
No, great customers, great retail partners, and we love them.
There you go. Anyway, what I was going to say on a positive note was just, you know, having the Indian summer there, having those outdoor shows, the Jams on the Sand shows, and that's really, you know, this time of year, that's what I usually think of, but obviously none of that's going on. But it's such a beautiful scenery out there, you know?
It is, and just to be next to the ocean and
so
the,
odd.
And the beautiful building, too. I mean, that's what's cool about Asbury Park, right? You sit on the sand and you see Convention Hall and this, like, really cool, you know, backdrop to whether you are drinking at the bar or you're just hanging out with your family on the beach. You know, I like to travel. I get around, and there's really not a place like it anywhere, you know, for better or worse. But, you know, when you're down there and looking at these, like, beautiful buildings, it's like, wow.
So
it's
cool.
We're really lucky to live here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I could totally feel that. I mean, you're hip, Jeff. You know what's going on. You're in bands. You know things.
Okay.
You finger guns. You know, you're out there.
Yeah, sure.
What's it like for like, you know, the music scene for bands? What are they aside from Zoomin'? Like, do you talk to a lot of people? Are they finding like creative outlets in this time, or is it like kind of like they're kind of in a stasis, you know?
So creative people, I think, are creative regardless of what's happening. So I don't think that's the issue. I know people that are writing a lot and recording a lot and finding new ways to express themselves creatively. The issue is commercially, like, mm-hmm. All right, so how do these people that rely on, you know, X amount of dollars a month from performing kind of bridge that gap? And that's one thing that, you know, definitely needs more attention. And, you know, maybe we can post a couple links on this
definitely.
On this when it goes up to some places where you can donate and help some people out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, for people that rely on performing in front of a crowd for a living, this is a really tough thing. It's the first thing that got shut down, and it's probably going to be the last thing to come back. And it's sad because as a society, you know, you really want to bolster culture. You look back at any great culture, and what we remember is the art and the music that they created. So we really got to make sure that we don't let that stuff fall by the wayside and only focus on you know, hospitality, which all of it is important.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, you know, there's no outlet for people to earn a living playing music right now, and that is that's one of the most unfortunate things of this whole crisis, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I guess creative people kind of get pushed to the wayside as far as like thinking about all the other things that need to happen, and it kind of sucks. Some people got creative with it. You know, there's the kids out there on the TikToks and whatnot doing things.
What are they doing on the TikToks and whatnots?
They do like dances and like there's this kid.
Let me demonstrate.
Can you show us? Oh wait, Jeff's got one. Yes, got it.
Like that. That's the new one. That's the Asbury Shuffle right there. There's this kid, Ricky Desktop, who's become popular on TikTok, and he like makes
name.
These little yeah. He makes these little songs. There's this dude, Danny White, who he's this rapper, and I don't think on a lot of different platforms he would have gotten so much exposure, or maybe in different times he wouldn't, but he has like Tourette's, and he like raps about other stuff too, but he raps about that too, and like kind of normalizing certain, you know, disabilities or whatever. And you know, he's done it all on TikTok, you know. But I think the Asbury Shuffle is like a good, we should do a dance. Because nothing like those youngsters love more than a 40-year-old guy showing them the new Asbury Shuffle.
That's, you know, what I've found.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And look, all of that stuff is good. But, you know, there's people, even just locally, so not even talking about how to launch your music career into, like, a global phenomenon, but, like, you know, guys like String Bean and, mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of others come to mind, and, like, touring acts and stuff where it sucks. You'd like to be able to, you know, gather a crowd for these guys to play and you know, it's you can't pay them unless you're also earning on it. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no like shade thrown at the bar owners or anything because
it's tricky.
Yeah, it is. And unfortunate.
What's your max occupancy with 25% cap on it?
25.
Oh, okay. That's easy. That's easy to remember.
No, inside. Four. So we're 199. We're 199 inside.
Okay.
This weekend we're just going to stay on the loading dock because
this is all
beautiful.
Legit. You can do this.
And you know, it's safe out here. We've had a great couple weekends. When we got the word on Monday, it was like, all right. So what do we want to do about inside? And the reality is, people would come inside and buy a beer and then just come back out and sit.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to sit inside when it's beautiful out like this?
What's the tune situation? Can you bust it? Could you bust out the jams out here?
We can bust the jams out here a little bit.
Nice.
Again, you know, if we're limited to having a crowd of 25 people and under,
you don't want to bust too many jams out.
Well, you know, one thing I would never do is ask an artist to come here and perform then for less money than what they deserve.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you know, we always pay people a fair wage if you're going to play here. But if we're only allowed to serve beer to 25 people, it makes it really difficult for us. You know, it's our... Our tasting room, luckily for us, our tasting room isn't a huge part of what we do. Like, we're way more about manufacturing and distribution.
Uh-huh.
So that's sort of like a nice thing that we can do. But having people out here, it doesn't make a ton of sense to pay great performers like who usually would perform here. If I can't pay you what you deserve, then I feel like just come hang out and I'll just throw you some free beers or something.
That's it. That brings up an interesting point that I always was horrible at, which was how if you're an aspiring musician or band, how do you like? What's the standard in the area, or how would one negotiate? Like, do you just tell the bar owner or the establishment, like, look, I want this much money for my band? You know, like, how do you break that down? Because I have no... I used to DJ, and, like, I would never know. I'd be like, I don't care. I just want to play. Like, whatever.
Well, I mean, there's competing interests, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm 20 years old and I'm trying to launch a project and really get the name out there, I might play for less money.
Yeah.
Even in cases of money. Like, listen, we'll get in here. We're going to build for ourselves, etc. But if I'm an act that's somewhat established and I know that we're going to draw people, or if I'm an act where it's like, look, we're all good players, we're all professional guys, so it's going to sound great. Even if we're not drawing a crowd, we're going to keep the crowd that you've drawn with your food or ambiance, whatever. We're going to keep them entertained.
Uh-huh.
Then, yeah, like, you know, there absolutely is a going rate for what it costs. And I would say that you tell them what it is and don't take less.
Five-piece classic rock cover band. What are they getting on a crowd of like say 100 people? They draw, you know, they'll draw in like maybe 10 or 20 people or something like that. What are they getting? Like 200?
No, $100 a guy.
$100 a guy.
$100 a guy.
Oh, all right. You know, that's what people need to know, because I never knew. You know,
I'm gonna get beat up by some bar managers.
They're gonna be like, what? I mean, it's always it's gotta be negotiable.
It can't just
be like yes or no. Like, you throw out a number and then the bar's like,
depends on who's bringing in the people.
I guess so.
Also true. Or, to me, I'm like, exactly. So if the band is good, I mean, maybe you've got like a name attached to it. Like, I was in this band, even if it was in 1994 or whatever. Uh-huh. It's like, oh yeah, I remember those guys. I don't know. To me, though, I'm like, $100 a guy is for
cool.
playing. Because what? A cover band's going to play for 4 hours or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And they're going to kick out the jams, like I was saying.
$100 a guy and a tab.
Uh-huh.
And
that
food.
That sounds good. That sounds awesome. That sounds great.
I should be a manager.
Yeah. I mean, you had so many hats, bro. Like, our last conversation... It was mind-blowing.
Our last conversation, we were human rights talking because we were in the middle of some heavy BLM activity here.
Yeah, that was
here in the AP.
That was the same week as the protests in Asbury Park, I think. Yeah.
Did you were mentioning how you were getting involved in like legal recourses. I don't know what the right terminology is, but you were kind of helping, advising, consulting in some fashion.
I put the word out that if you got arrested at the protest, I would represent you pro bono.
Uh-huh.
And yes, a couple people took me up on it, and yes, I did represent them pro bono. You know, can't exactly discuss the details of their case.
It's too bad,
obviously. But but yeah, it was. You know, it the protest here turned into, you know, luckily not as bad, but it turned into something similar that you saw in other places where, you know, there was there were police departments from other towns that came and they seemed like pretty fired up and, you know, it was very peaceful until it got dark and after nightfall, it got a little hairy.
It got a little
right
sketchy.
Right here at the brewery.
Oh, yeah. I was watching the Twitter feed live and I was like commenting and I was just like, you know, I'm older now, so like I see everyone's, you know, very, you know, people are angry, and like the cops are you know, some of them are not, you know, and you know they're angry too, and you see these reactions to people, and all I kept thinking was just like, guys, don't, like, you know, I see on both sides why, you know, I just wish I could just give everybody a hug, you know.
Yep.
And not see people like
coronavirus. You know, you can't go around hugging.
Yeah,
people.
I can't hug anybody
can't
anymore.
Hug anybody.
Damn it. But it's just like, you know, you kind of, if you're watching the live feed, you could kind of see where it kind of tilted sideways, where the cops were just like, all right, and then like, you know, people were mentioning what towns they're from. I'm not going to mention the out-of-town names, but like I was interested to know that it was like out-of-town cops didn't really seem to jive with the, you know, the whole situation. But
yeah, we have a great relationship with the Asbury Park Police. You know, we see them all the time in our neighborhood patrolling the streets, and we've gotten to be friends with a lot of them personally. So you know, I think that they did a great job throughout that whole process. There was a couple protests that week, and you know, they went out and marched with people, and there was some great photos of them kneeling, etc. But you know, yeah, like you said, some other, like, you know, towns out there, a little more suburban, some guys, they get these toys and they want to use them. So they show up somewhere and it's like, yeah, like, all right, let's get riled up and go. But
well, you see some of the stuff too, like, Epic Shouts Eatontown, a shared universe podcast studio is right near, you know, and Eatontown Police, love you guys. But you guys got some like military grade vehicles out there, like Humvees and like some units. And I'm like, were you guys off-roading in the bay? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, you don't need that. But
they closed,
you
know, Fort Monmouth and just changed the paint job on them.
Exactly. Oh, man, that's a whole nother thing. Speaking of which, Oceanport Paddle Club.
Oh, Oceanport Paddle Club.
We're gonna do a show.
We're gonna go back.
We
were there,
back
what?
To the beach.
We were there 3 weeks ago, two weeks ago, whenever
it's
it
so
was.
Nice.
Right, Ming? We had a great time on the river, and we decided to do it again. So September 15th, it's a Tuesday, and I think the Asbury Park Brewery is hooking us up with some beer for the event as well.
That's true.
Did you know that?
Well, I guess I have to now. No, I didn't know that. Yeah. We'll
thank you, Evan Beach, for making the first connect. But I've got him on video on the internet, so you're beat.
Boom! It's pretty much a fact at that point.
Bang.
But yeah, so we're gonna blow it up. We're gonna really, you know, make it big. We're gonna get a bunch of time out on the paddle boards.
We've got
boarding and kayaking from 4 to 6 available, and then we've got a bartender coming. We've got beer from the Asbury Park Brewery, vodka and bourbon from the Long Branch Distillery. Thank you, Mark. I'm coming to see you after we leave here.
Nice.
And we have food from Tommy's Tavern and Tap coming. Like,
wow.
It's legit. We are
Tommy's.
Throwing an outdoor party at the Oceanport Paddle Club on Tuesday, September 15th.
I want to get in touch with I want to be like Tommy. Tommy, buddy. Like, it's hard to... Tommy's is busy, so Tommy doesn't need a little outfit like Totally Local, but
he's
I want to...
tap and a tavern.
Yeah, I want to come chill with Tommy.
Maybe when the new spot that Tommy's opening up, Tio's Tacos and Tequila, opens up, we'll run up there.
Where's that going
to
be?
Even if we have to hijack the Wi-Fi,
perfect.
We'll just go.
All right,
and we'll just do it.
Tio's
that's up in Edison by Top Golf. They're opening up Tio's Tacos and Tequila.
Interesting.
So pretty exciting for the for the Tommy's family.
That's great. Congratulations, Tommy and the gang. But you know, I want to get in that. See, he's that Seabright one. Even it's crowded. He's got that whole outdoor back yard area right to the bay.
We went there on Tuesday at like 3 p.m. and there were still like 100 people outside having their lunch.
Great account. So. Great account. Top volume account for us.
Tommy.
For me too.
We love Tommy. Aaron, you have a couple kids. You're, you know, seasoned.
What's wrong? What do you need help with?
I'm just observing. You know, as a father, you know, I'm older now. I'm mature. I'm wise. I've seen it all. I've done half of it. Children, especially in groups, it's like they're loud. They're a little chaotic. And you bring them to the beach, and it just seems kind of like...
Talking about your child.
No, my kid's like, he's the perfect little
angel.
8 months
old? I mean, how old is he now?
He has a shirt. He is a current family favorite. That's what the shirt says, because he's like, he's nothing but adorable. You know, he's just sitting there.
But it's those other brats.
I'm just saying, like, are you a counter? Are you one of the people that like, I'm going to count to three? Like, how does it go down? I need some tips so when this kid does get older.
I tried the counting thing. It doesn't they're like, it doesn't work for my 5-year-old and the 2-year-old.
I'm extremely invested in this conversation because I'm expecting my first child.
Congratulations. Oh. I saw that picture, the Stooges shirt. You're trying to find the...
Yeah, our son is going to be named Iggy.
Nice.
Hence the Stooges.
Oh.
And maybe you caught the Pauly Shore announcement. We got a cameo from Pauly Shore to announce.
I saw that.
Wow, I didn't see that.
It was great. He really went in. I was expecting like a 45-second jam.
He did it?
3.5 minutes in, I'm like, wow, he's still going, huh? I mean, I paid for it, but do I have to watch this? No, it was amazing.
That's cool.
So, yeah, we're really excited. Please, I'm like a sponge right now for parenting information.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. That's all you got to know.
Well, perfect.
You're going to do you.
That's not what he was.
Sponge is closed.
Jess, you do you. Don't worry about anybody else.
You.
And that's it.
People got a lot of advice. Don't listen to anyone.
People just want to give you unsolicited advice
all the time.
I have learned to shut off the people that have anything even remotely negative to say when they're like, oh, I hope you like sleeping because you're not going to get this. I'm like, eh.
Or they pick the gender. Well, they're like, oh, it's that gender? That's not a good one.
That's for shit sure. Like the sleep thing, that's an issue. Like,
oh, you go into a different
You learn. You sleep train yourself.
Yeah.
You talk about sleep training kids. You sleep train yourself.
You're just up,
and that's just it. And
yeah, that's how I feel. Look, we're gonna figure it out, and I want to enjoy this whole process. I want to enjoy the pregnancy. I want to enjoy, you know, having a newborn, having an infant, having a toddler. All that. Really not trying to hear anything about like any like kind of snark and.
It's all about being. Present, you know, at every stage of the game, and it's gonna change. So you're in one phase right now.
Oh, it shifts.
And when like she's 9 months and hormonal is fuck, you know, it's gonna change again.
You can say fuck on the show.
And then the baby comes, and then it's bliss. And then you don't sleep.
Are you gonna watch?
And then it's bliss.
Are you gonna watch the?
It just happens.
Are you gonna watch the birth? Are you gonna watch the whole? I was anti, and my wife yelled at me. So, like, I was there, man.
No, I'm
you're down?
I'm down. I'm front and center for the whole thing.
It's crazy.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's like, she had to prepare me. My wife, like, was showing me Instagram, like, birthing videos to just, like.
Wait.
This podcast has gone off the rails.
Can we go back to beer?
I just want to point that out.
It's we go back to how babies are made?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
No, I had to prepare, you know, so you might, I'm just saying, if you think about it, like, you know. It was really interesting growing up on like HBO and violent movies and, you know, Sylvester Stallone's earlier career and people like that and all the blood and guts and gore. And then for some reason, when I saw birthing videos on Instagram, I was like, oh my God, like it made like, but I just kind of snapped out of it. It's the circle of life. It's a beautiful thing.
No, it's I feel pretty well prepared.
They come out a little mushy.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever said. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, that is a dumb thing to say.
That was pretty
just
dumb.
Just expect the unexpected.
You're good. You're good. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I mean, how many people, for how long? For how many, like, they've been doing this forever, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, at this point, my wife is very, like, nervous about everything. And she's like, oh, man, like, you know, this feels a little off, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, everything's fine. You know, everything's going to be fine. I'm like, this is how human beings have carried children for... millennia.
She doesn't want to hear that from you.
I know. I also have learned to stop trying to say smart things. I was just like, oh, that does.
Don't try to rationalize.
That is weird.
Don't rationalize it.
Would you like ice cream?
Like that kind of thing.
Ice cream and windmill cheese fries. I mean, that's all you need to all you need to know. How's Big Al, by the way? Big Al, are you watching?
They're absolutely watching. Big Al is rooting for us. Actually, you know, so this house that we're, you know, closing on is right around the corner from the windmill. So we'll be having cheese fries all the time.
In the LB?
No, in West Belmar.
In Belmar.
Ah. Yeah. Belmont.
Having a kid, buying a house.
Ooh, you're doing it all, dude.
All that grown-up shit.
That's what it's all about,
I mean, you get quarantined for 3 months, and things come into focus.
Yeah, that's right. You got time to think about stuff.
It's
and you're
true.
Like, it's where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Yeah. Well, Belmore, West Belmore.
And I got to spend it with the love of my life.
There you go. Oh, man, there's a clip. Say that. Send that to you.
Zoom in on that and do that again.
Yeah. Just fucking freeze frame.
We'll do a bunch after this. Oh, pick the best one.
B-roll. I love that. I love that. So we're looking at 25%. You're not really focusing on that because, you know, obviously you got the whole outside area. and you're just kind of playing it by ear.
No, we've got a pretty solid plan in place.
You set him up for that one.
I wouldn't say playing it by ear, but no. So we don't know what's going to happen with the indoor dining, but I'm encouraged by the fact that on-premise consumption is going up and up and up and up. So, you know, it's our margin on draft is better than cans. I'll be totally honest with you. You know, the aluminum costs money, the labor costs money in putting in cans. So the more we can get back into bars and have bartenders, you know, pulling the handle and pouring pints, the happier I am, the better we're doing. You know, the better my son's orthodonture and university looks. And
perfect. Yeah.
But no, everything appears to be going in the right direction right now. So, things are looking good for Asbury Park Brewery.
I love it. I really do. I love it. Can you have, like, what's the deal with, like, food trucks coming in here? Can you do that, or is there some kind of stipulation?
Cut. So the state is cool with it. The city has been a little weird about it.
Oh, really? We love you, Asbury Park, but, like,
yeah. I mean, look, so the city is very protective of their restaurant industry.
I hear you. There's a lot of conflicting. I get it.
So, you know, essentially their stance is if we let food trucks run rampant, our businesses that have been here for a number of years might get hurt by that. So I see the tension there.
They should just give those restaurants food trucks. And then they can bring their food around as well.
So basically, we just have to file for a permit on like a one-off basis if we absolutely want to. But for the most part, we don't. Like what we do is people come here and we say, hey, you know, go to La Tapatia or TJ's and bring some food over here.
You can bring the food.
You can bring it
with that.
Exactly.
It's not frowned upon.
Or, you know, if you want to get from Brick Wall and, you know, Cross and Orange, all of the great places, Mogo, all of the great places in Asbury Park that are walking distance. It's like, grab some food. Bring it over here, set yourself up, drink beers, and then eat whatever you want to eat. We're fine with that for the most part. Nice. But every now and then we'll have like a wedding or something, and they're really adamant about having a particular food truck, so we can accommodate
that.
Get
the permit. That makes sense. That's on them, though. That's what do you want me, you know? My hands are tied. I got to do with the Brian Groom.
I end up doing the legwork, though. Once people find out you're an attorney, they're like, oh, that's so awesome. Can you do me a favor?
Oh, man. Are they always asking you? It's like somebody finds your doctor, they're like asking you what like a mole is. But if you're like an attorney, they're just like, listen.
Yeah.
I stepped in the crosswalk. Sure. Was
it's
I
not
looking
my fault.
At my phone?
I didn't do it.
You know. All right. We were talking about trees the other day. You were like, you
fucking trees.
Do you have a tree guy?
I don't have a tree guy. You got a tree guy?
I mean.
You need a tree guy.
Kind of, but he's been a little flaky lately.
So trees are tough. The tree guys, A, are tough. You know, all right, insurance talk.
Here you go.
Over this way. Insurance for tree guys is very expensive, so they're all shady. And then trees,
no pun intended, people.
No. Right. Oh, wow. I didn't even realize I threw
that
one out there.
Aaron, you throw out, like, fantastic things all the time.
I always get them to give me a quote, and they leave.
Oh! Mic drop on that one. You used that with one of the tree guys, didn't you?
No. That was top of my head, man. But I'm going to.
But trees are crazy with, you know, all the trees in people's yards, and they don't belong to them, and... You know, it's just a mess when it comes to insurance and trees, because there's really no coverage unless it's laying on your house. And they're like, well, who's responsible for it? I'm like, duke it out in court or settle it like gentlemen.
Somebody's got to get into the tree insurance game where it's just specifically
landscaped trees.
Yeah, you insure the tree itself, you know, so that way if the tree breaks, you put a value on the tree. How much is that branch? It all fell down. How much is that tree
Andrew,
worth?
If I were to say I'm going to charge you $250 to cover those three trees in your backyard, what are you telling me?
I'm saying...
Be honest.
I'm saying what else? Yeah.
And be honest.
I have a very... You know, I have a couple trees. I'm butted up against the woods, and there's a couple trees that I'm looking at, and I'm like, that's... That could go either way.
Yeah, I got trees, man.
You got trees? You got trees in West Belmar, huh?
I got trees.
West Belmar is more of a foliage dense as opposed to East Belmar.
Man, I love West Belmar.
What do you love about West Belmar?
It's like a cool neighborhood. There's lots of kids. There's lots of, you know, it's like a
grown up neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a good community, and it's still like, you know, we didn't. It's like one of the few places that we weren't completely priced out. Like, obviously, I've lived in Asbury Park pretty much my entire life, and you know, like 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, like $800,000. I was like, oh yeah, I'm probably not going to live in Asbury Park at this point.
What? So, growing up in Asbury Park, and we went to high school together, and I grew up in the 07712, but in the 90s, nobody wanted to admit that. 07712 is Asbury Park. We're like, no, we're Wayside.
Wayside?
I was in a punk band, though, so I was like, I'm from the heart of Asbury Park. I find the crustiest place, and that's where I live.
Did you go to Asbury High, or where did you go to school?
No, I went to Ocean Township. I was in Wanamassa, yeah.
Oh, right on. Cool. Oh, all right, that makes sense.
The Wanzoos.
So, we were talking about this the other, you know, whatever podcast it was, two ones ago. Anyway, we've talked about real estate a lot, and how the inventory is tight. So how did you go about like zeroing in and finding a spot? Did you have to like, you know like the owner of the house, write them a nice letter and be like, I'm having a kid and I need somewhere to live? It's gotta be
so I mean I guess there's no reason for me not to divulge most of the secrets.
I see
an
Asbury Park brewery truck. Spotted seahorse.
Beautiful. There it is.
Nice wrapped truck.
Just out there, it's like bees pollinating. Yeah. You know what I mean? What happened was, it was like the first house that we looked at, and my wife absolutely fell in love with it. Really, really cool house, corner lot. So we put an offer in, we didn't get it. They went with another buyer. We're like, oh, bummer. So we went shopping other places, and yeah, the inventory was really tight. Put offers in on a couple other places. There was a lot of, well, there's a buyer from New York that's offering cash.
Yeah, that's all that cash stuff. That's what we were talking about.
So that happened to us a few times. Cash. And then there's like an issue on this property with a guy who built dwelling without permits.
Oh.
But I was uniquely situated as an attorney to say, hey, I tell you what. You know, we like kind of offer. I mean, there's no way this guy's watching it.
Well, whatever. You negotiate.
We kind of went in lowball. Like, we lowballed him and was like, look, I'm going to lowball you, but I'll take care of all of the legal issues with this back house. Let me deal with the township and figure out what we got to do to make this comport with the zoning laws. So that's what we did. So we got ourselves a really, I think, perfect house for our little family. It's exactly where we want to be. And I got a little extra work to do, but it's not too bad. It's nothing I can't handle. So
it gets to be fun. You know, you got the house, you got the kid. You're like, let's get some things going here. Let's get things popping.
But yeah, other than that, I think that, you know, for most people just going out and shopping for a house, it's like a really tough time right now.
Hell yeah.
And even so, I have a sister who's got a great place in Shrewsbury, and she's like, this would be a perfect time for us to sell, but where do we go?
Yeah,
well, you gotta go to Wayside. You gotta go further south. You gotta go Forked River. You gotta go Eggtown.
Ain't nobody going to Forked River.
That's where you gotta go.
Well, he's not my sister.
Alright.
Not my sister.
Plenty of people say
Forked River's great, but my sister, no, she's got, I mean, she still has kids in school and everything. She's not trying to uproot the whole.
Are you looking at the school, like, you got a kid? People are always talking to me about, oh, the schools. I'm like, please, let's survive this apocalypse. I could teach my kid, you know, basic, you know, English and the alphabet and whatnot.
I would be horrified if I taught my child. Someone else needs to teach this child because I'm
six.
I am trying to avoid him turning out like
me. Do you really find that, like, I don't know. I mean, I went to, you know, I went to Modern Day, Go Seraphs. I didn't learn more going to school there than I did, than anybody else I know learned something, you know. I just don't know if there's like a, you know, a very huge difference between like pre-K, kindergarten, grade school.
I'm not going to comment because my kindergartner goes to private school.
Is she learning like basic accounting? Like what are we picking up?
She's brilliant, by the way.
And, of course. Wouldn't doubt it.
You know, she's definitely advanced in her kindergarten, but we're happy she's going to private school, especially in the COVID era. But, you know, we love the small classroom. She's got a class of 9 kids.
Yeah.
So we prefer that over the larger class. Is she going to learn anything different? I don't know.
9 kids? That's not private. That's like personal school.
Can daddy make some good business connections personal. And maybe, you know, make some close some new deals to pay for school? Yeah, hope so. You
know? It makes it fun that way. I guess it's more of a challenge, you know. But, wow. That's there's a lot of things to consider when you think about those schools.
And it's you know, my wife loves the private school system, so we're,
if you have a kid, like,
stick with it, and thank God we're, you know, she's, my daughters have 2 working parents, and
that helps.
That's it.
That definitely helps.
We're dual income. That's, we make it work.
The one thing I was thinking about.
You hear that,
too,
Jesse?
the one thing I was thinking about, you know, as far as.
No, you're good. I don't love the sound. No, whatever you gotta do.
Rock and roll. What does she gotta do? Sound check or something?
No, she's gonna bring the forklift out and take a pallet of cans off of the truck.
Awesome. Yeah. Epic.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Cool.
Do you have to get like a like special training to do the, can I do the forklift? What?
You are asking the most irritating questions, I gotta be honest with you. Now OSHA is gonna show up and be like, is she trained on that forklift?
Where's her helmet?
Tell me something you hate about your customers.
I gotta get to the bottom of it. I'm Sally Jesse, baby.
Yeah, she's trained, she's OSHA certified on the forklift.
All right. I gotta know. The people wanna know, you know?
No one wants to know that.
I don't know. These are the things that pop into my mind, so I guess I gotta, you know, do more.
I think it's time for another beer.
All right. I could drink another
I'll
beer.
I'll grab them.
All right, cool. So Aaron,
give Jeff his out real quick.
Sea Dragon's naive, are they good?
I'll do another Sea Dragon.
I'll do a naive.
All right, cool.
Is the fresh ginger, is that a new touch?
No, that's been
in. Is it? It's very like accentuated.
You like it. So this,
it's healthy.
The naive is good.
Yeah.
Right?
I love a sour.
It's a sour. I'm not a huge sour fan because it's a little. But this is not puckery like a big sour.
Yeah, there's like, some that are like very, know, very sour. There's some that are subtle. When are we going to get like an LG? What would be, if you were to make a beer, like we know you had a very famous, you know, globally known music group make a special limited edition run.
It's Panic of the Disco. Exactly. We can say it.
Okay, all right. I didn't know about like, you know, ASCAP, BMI. Like,
no, we're allowed to say it.
Aaron, what would you, as far as like LG, what would be like the luxury group? Would it be like a Lager?
No.
What do you think?
I can see the label.
I like the sound of that, you know, but personally.
Luxury lager?
I like a heavy hoppy.
Okay.
You know, but the luxury lager, I like where you're going with that.
Alliteration.
I mean, I like it too.
Something smooth and just clean.
This is another annoying question, but like, what's the process to get that going? Like, since if he wanted to make a special one, and it
was, is your license current right now to make beer?
Well, I'll tell you one thing: his insurance is current. We're good.
Okay. So, all right, what's the question?
We want to make the luxury lager.
What do we got to do to make it so that Aaron Levine has a special LG? Asbury Park Brewery can.
I mean, really, they care more about the label approval. So there are requirements that the federal government has for what your beer is labeled as. So you need to say what kind of beer it is. You have to say what the ABV is, where it's brewed, where it's packaged, etc. Surgeon General's warning, blah 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 blah. So we would design a label, and then once that was approved, we can pretty much choose your own adventure in terms of.
I say we go totally local, though.
Oh, don't even get me started. You know, could we do a totally?
I'm not going to be selfish here. I think we're going to we got to go totally local.
Toasted lager, TLTL.
There you go.
What is a toasted? What does that mean?
Actually, lager? Blue Point might sue us if we call it a toasted lager. I'll have to say, they may have that trademark or not.
We can do a totally sour.
Yeah,
we can do how do you make it sour? Like, you drink it and you're like, oh my God.
So you actually did.
So you want to make something that nobody wants to drink?
Is that because we only
have 12 people watching us? Nobody wants to watch.
There's going
to
be a distinct audience that's going to be like, holy fuck, that's really fucking sour. And they're going to love it.
Yeah, so you can go nuts with a sour. I mean, a sour beer just has bacteria that essentially rots the beer.
Oh.
I know.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to drink another one.
I mean, it's a lot like cheese making, too, right? So you essentially will let the mash sour.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Sour. It's not like sour. It's like sour.
Right, exactly. And then you boil it, so anything
like
that's in
sour.
There.
Sour. Not the taste, but you let it sour.
Ming, should we cut him off?
I'm going to slow down on these beers, I think.
That's late. I just opened it.
4 days of the in-laws? Sorry, Richie.
It's okay.
But yeah, so the process of making a sour beer is you actually let the mash sour. And then when you boil it, any kind of bacteria that was in there is gone, but you still get the sour flavor of the sour mash.
As a beer meister, is it sour? Like, am I just being like a commoner when I'm talking, like how I'm talking now about having a sour?
No, I mean, I honestly prefer customers that aren't like beer experts. Mm-hmm. Because they always,
perfect.
For the most part, they ask questions experts. That they already know the answer to. They're really just asking you to show how much they know about beer.
I mean, I don't.
You know what I mean?
Like, are you saying that it's good that I'm just asking dumb questions because I don't know?
I love dumb questions. Because
look at this
squirrel.
Podcast.
That squirrel's got a candy bar in its mouth.
Sorry. It's an Asbury Park squirrel.
I guess I could slow down on these beers too. Like, hey, a squirrel with a candy bar.
Labor Day weekend.
What's up? Something's up with Joe.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
No, it's good. If you need a reality show, we could do it behind the scenes. Yeah. Like, what's
any
going
other
on.
Questions?
I don't want to put you on the side. I could keep going. I mean, it's up to you guys. I mean, it's, I don't know if people at home are watching.
I think maybe needs another beer too.
Are you good? Are you full? You got one?
I didn't know you had a sour. That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Ah, see.
Like when they put it in, they push the carpet so it slid. So I can just put extenders on. I think that would be.
Those are pretty heavy though. It'd probably be easier to drive the lift in. I'll give you a hand with this.
I'm listening. I'm learning.
Hang out and relax, you know. That's good. That's what we could, you know. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Yeah.
Although I could sit here for a while and talk. You're like a font of knowledge, Jeff. We haven't even scratched the surface.
I have my moments.
Yeah. So I mean.
So when are we coming back? I mean, it sounds like we've got to book another live from the loading dock.
Yeah.
We should do it at this time too, because we've only had one train.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been actually perfect.
Not bad.
No, not at all.
Not bad at all.
We didn't even get into, you know, I had so many music questions, so many like. I mean, you can go so many different directions with you've been in the bands.
Mm-hmm.
You've been lawyery with bands.
This is also true.
Do you put stuff out like DistroKid? Do you use like CD Baby? What would you recommend a band if they're gonna like put their stuff out there? What would you recommend they use?
I mean, I recommend you get signed to a major label.
Oh, wow.
That's okay, definitely the way to go.
How do you get signed? In this day and age, how do you get signed to a major label?
Oh, right now? Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
You have a sick Zoom sesh, bro.
I mean, I think CD Baby offers like a pretty good comprehensive service. And, you know, it's not super expensive. That's not a bad one if you're self-distributing.
There's more options now too for people that goes beyond like, you know, major label. If you want to go major label and go that route, then you okay. But if you decide to go, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of kidding.
Getting
on like the big streaming services is probably the most important thing. And then in terms of like pressing your own stuff, you know, it's just so weird right now because if you can't play shows and sell stuff at shows, I really don't know what to say to bands.
I wanted to bring this up, and I wanted to make sure it was accurate before I asked you, but I didn't have time to ask anybody because I forgot. So,
Joe, just hang out for like 10 minutes. I know. Okay. Yeah, just hang out.
She's bored.
I know.
You were in a rap? You were in a hip-hop?
No, I wasn't. Next question.
Oh, all right, cool. No,
no,
all right,
nope.
Anyway, Ming just said we have to wrap this up. He's got another podcast to get to on the ocean front, I think.
Well, until next time, you know, on the loading. I want you to know that, Jeff, I appreciate you.
We need to get invited back to the loading dock.
You guys are invited anytime. We'll just we'll
screen the questions.
We'll just talk before we start streaming next time. I think that'll be great.
Everybody, Asbury Park Brewery, Jeff played. I think we could, you know, I wish I left it on more of a robust, positive note, but
I feel very positive about it. I had a great time.
You know, the metaphorical mic drop. I think we're good to go. Aaron, do you have anything to add?
Happy Labor Day weekend. I'm excited for a nice long weekend. My staff is excited for a nice long weekend. We got great weather, indoor dining. You know, support local. That's all we can do.
Yeah,
I'll get this in before the train comes. We're open 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Asbury Park Brewery. Come to our loading dock, hang out, try some beer, the freshest around. And thanks again for having me, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right.